This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park.
The entire council took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. They began to state their case. This man has been leading our people astray by telling them not to pay their taxes to the Roman government and by claiming he is the Messiah, a king. So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Pilate turned to the leading priests and to the crowd and said, "I find nothing wrong with this man." Then they became insistent. "But he is causing riots by his teaching wherever he goes, all over Judea, from Galilee to Jerusalem." Pilate asked, "Oh, is he a Galilean?" When they said that he was, Pilate sent him to Herod Antipas, because Galilee was under Herod's jurisdiction, and Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the time.
Herod asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law stood there shouting their accusations. Then Herod and the soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus. Finally, they put a royal robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Then Pilate called together the leading priests and other religious leaders along with the people, and he announced his verdict. "You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence and find him innocent." Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. "Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty, so I will have him flogged, and then I will release him." Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd, and with one voice they shouted, "Kill him!" and released Barabbas to us.
Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he demanded, "Why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. So I will have him flogged, and then I will release him." But the mob shouted louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified. And their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die as they demanded. As they had requested, he released Barabbas, the man in prison for insurrection and murder. But he turned Jesus over to them to do as they wished. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice.
The crowd watched, and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise."
By this time, it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down, the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching.
Palm Sunday is an interesting day because we have these two readings, triumphal entry and then the Passion Gospel. Which, by the way, this is not an ancient tradition. Actually, it's a very new tradition in terms of church history. It wasn't until the 60s, that 1960s, that we started doing this. But between these two readings, there's such a dichotomy. Celebration and sorrow, triumph and agony, praising and cursing. Such an abrupt mood swing. Shouts of Hosanna, waving palm branches, a great celebration for a king. You know, it had to be tempered. That celebration had to be tempered for Jesus because he knew he was going to hear crucify him later that week. I mean, it was just the day before the triumphal entry that Jesus praised Mary for her devotion, when she anointed him with perfume, that according to Jesus was preparation for his death. You know, he had openly been teaching his disciples, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on day raised to life. Yet despite all of this, the disciples were still in the dark about what was happening. And the crowd that came out to meet Jesus, you know, they were the people who were gathered in Jerusalem for Passover. They clearly were not thinking about crucifixion. No, they were joyfully praising God, it says, and shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." We're not told about Jesus' mood as all this unfolded. But it only makes sense that he was not feeling quite as festive. As he rode into Jerusalem, he knew full well what awaited him. While they hailed him as king, Jesus understood that not everyone was thrilled. The religious leaders were already plotting his death, and the Roman authorities would not appreciate a new king riding into town. Jesus knew that those two powers, the church and the state, if you will, would come together and unwittingly help him fulfill the very reason for his coming. But Jesus knew something else as well. The people, just the ordinary people in the story, like you and me, many of the people who were praising and waving palms, they would later be calling for his death. The people play, I think, really the crucial role here. We just heard it read. I mean, do you think the religious leaders and Pilate would have proceeded with the execution if they had feared a revolt from the people? I think not. No, the religious leaders take Jesus to Pilate later in the week because by that time, they've won the crowds to their side. Praising and cursing from many of the same mouths in just a matter of days. And this is exactly what James talks about in his letter. He says, With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. The truth is, we are duplicitous creatures. All of us are capable from moving from praises to curses in very short order. And why? Well, it's not rocket science. We're prideful, selfish creatures. We are fond of others as long as they give us what we want, as long as they fulfill our expectations. And when they don't, we can turn on a dime, just like the people in Jerusalem. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened the first Holy Week. You know, they were more than ready to proclaim Jesus as their king, as their deliverer. But when he didn't deliver, they quickly turned on him. They expected the Messiah to be like Moses, right? And what did Moses do? Well, you know, Moses would have called down curses from heaven until those Romans just decided to leave, get out of town. Instead of leading a rebellion, instead of calling down curses from heaven, here's what Jesus did. He told weird stories, like the one about a vineyard owner whose son was killed by the tenants. He said, hey, you should pay taxes. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. He also said that the temple, the focal point of their faith, would be destroyed. It would be torn down. Not one stone would be left standing. Not exactly what they were hoping for. Not exactly what they expected. He was a deliverer who didn't deliver. And so they turned on him in an instant. And I think we are not really any different. We do the very same thing with God. We acknowledge him until he doesn't give us what we want. Heal my relative or my friend. Give me that job, etc., etc., etc. And when he doesn't, we can turn just as quickly. Dallas Willard, he writes in one of his famous books, Renovation of the Heart, just a simple line that I read, you know, I don't know, almost 20 years ago, but it's always stuck with me. Wanting God to be God is very different from wanting God to help me. Such a simple statement, and yet so profound and so true. It was true of them. It's true of us. Now, the point of this exercise is not simply to make us all feel awful. Although conviction is not a bad thing, the point is to recognize something utterly amazing. Jesus knew the people would turn on him. He knew it. He knew exactly how it was going to unfold. And yet he went to the cross anyway. He went to the cross anyway and suffered beyond comprehension, all for the sake of treacherous human beings who abandoned him at his crucial hour. He knew it would all happen, and yet he went to the cross anyway. All of our duplicity, all of our treachery, he took to the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. On the cross, Jesus bore our sins, yours, mine. He took what we deserved that we might instead receive forgiveness and mercy. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So the ugliness of the cross is transformed. It's transformed for all who are willing to see it as it is, transformed into the greatest act of love the world will ever witness. And now, the victorious Jesus offers the great gift of his life and love to all who would receive it. And how? How do we receive it? By believing. By putting our trust in him. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Such a simple message at its core. The words of Jesus ring true. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. This is the good news that we believe, that we celebrate, and we proclaim to the world. Amen.